Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 802 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You missed the exchange in here just a second ago. I was talking to Anna, the intern here, and told her, you know what, you need to take advantage of the studios here. She's an Aggie. She's going to be a senior. She works for Billy Lucci, and she's probably going to, hopefully she'll be able to go back with Billy Lucci. David Nuno started over there. And I said, you know what? Take advantage of the these bays here and put some stuff on tape, you know, with your voice on it. She's like, who can help me? I was like, Dell. And Dell's like, what? Me? I'm not doing anything.
I didn't say I'm not doing anything. I was incredulous at you thinking I have any control over what happens. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Actually, we're a rudderless ship, so anyone can do whatever they want right now.
We're like the NCAA?
Yeah.
This is the NCAA.
Except Mark Emmer's not going to get an extension in our eyes. He's out the door.
Mark Emmer. Listen, I'm not going to say anything about Mark Emmer because he's a great human being.
Sure he is. I just said me because I don't run that. If she would like to go in there, I'd say you're more than welcome to. I just don't know the schedules. I think you probably have to ask Tyler about that or something.
Yeah, or Dell. That's what I thought. He just doesn't want to help young people. Lance, you and I, that's all we do.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to help young people.
I would tell Anna, who you're referring to as our intern, is to beg for forgiveness. Don't ask for permission.
Yeah, my kids are already subscribed. I've noticed
Mason doesn't have to forgive.
When you start doing that, when you have your kids start figuring out forgiveness, not permission, that's a horrible sign. It's a bad sign because they know if they can just fade, you got to make the punishment so bad they say, not going to do that anymore. Not going to do that anymore. I've already figured that out. I already told my wife, we got one who is a forgiveness, not permission type, and that is not going to work. That is not going to work for me. If you just keep, you're going to yell at me? Big deal. I can fade that. Don't worry about it. I'll just go to my room and just read a book or get on my whatever. I'm like, we got to take everything from him. We got to take his pork chop. Take his soul. Everything. Now, here, your bed's coming.
I know
out
which
the room
one
now.
This is.
Sleep on the floor.
I know which one this is.
Mason.
Yeah, Mason. Yeah, he's the one that just says, if I'm going to do it anyway. I like his attitude. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, I don't – why in the hell did this happen? I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering why in the hell this would have happened. I'm reading Yard Barker this morning, and – first of all, should the Texans trade for Patriots wide receiver N'Keal Harry?
It's not.
The answer is a clear,
an emphatic no.
No.
He is such a pain in the ass. His agent to come out and say what he said yesterday, we have had discussions, and clearly he has not had enough targets. I'm like, you got a weak wide receiving core, and you can't even get, like, N'Keal Harry couldn't separate coming out of college. Great ball skills and all that. Not a guy that really doesn't play fast, and I just thought his agent's. I had to go find who his agent was and see what his back. He's not a big time agent at all. That's not the way to do it. To go out and say I've discussed this with the Patriots and we are requesting a trade. It's going to be like a sixth to get N'Keal Harry. It won't take anything. But if you're the Texans, no. Why do you want, because he played for the Patriots? No.
Yes.
Just because he was a first-round pick. First of all, it was a mistake.
Nick Caserio's first-round pick.
Yeah, it was. Oh, by the way, it was Caserio.
Caserio's. There was an article. No, it wasn't. It was Bill Belichick's. So Albert Breer, they had this on New England Sports Network. Albert Breer came out and said that this was actually that Bill Belichick made this pick. He went against the scouting staff who wanted A.J. Brown or Deebo Samuels. And he's the one who chose.
When did he say that?
Before or after last year's draft. Or no, before this. It was before this year's draft. It was like a year ago, I think.
It is perfect. The Texans hired a guy who came from the same scenario they like to run. That in-round thing where no one ever really knows who makes the picks. It's perfect that they hired another guy like that. Oh, we don't know. We can't blame him. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know who made the picks.
Now we know, though. Here it is. Now we know. There ain't any more of that. Well, was this Gary's or Rick's pick? Yeah. There ain't no more. There's no more of that. This is all Nick Caserio. Because we know it ain't
David Culley.
It ain't leaving it up to a junkie.
It was April 6th of this year. Robert Kraft admitted last week that the team hasn't, quote, done the greatest job in the draft in recent years. There's now some added scrutiny to the process. And Albert Breer used the team drafting Harry in the first round as a shining example. Quote from Albert Breer, it also, as some saw it, led to misses like N'Keal Harry in 2019. Harry killed his 30 visit that spring. 30 visit is you have 30 different players can come in for individual visits. He killed his 30 visit that spring and had a college coach, Todd Graham, who was close to Belichick. In that end, without more input from scouts who preferred Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown, the coach wound up leaning on his own experience with Harry rather than the red flags his scouts planted and lost a golden opportunity to fill a hole in his roster. Now, that's where the quote ends. The Harry pick, of course, has been questioned quite a bit in this region after Belichick used a first-round pick on a wide receiver for the first time in his career. Hopes were high on the big-bodied pass catcher out of Arizona State. So through two seasons, he has 45 catches and 414 yards and four touchdowns, having played in just 21 of a possible 32 games. I have no interest in N'Keal Harry. No interest in somebody else's throwaways. No interest in a former Patriot coming here. I don't know which side of that, you know, of the scouting that Nick Caserio was on, but you do not need to be trading any draft picks for any players right now. Rebuild from the studs. Don't take on a guy who's nearing the end of his contract, and then all of a sudden he has 800 yards receiving, and you're sitting there having to make a decision about whether or not you want to sign a guy who can't separate. No, you don't want it.
So then there's another article that says the three possible landing spots for N'Keal Harry: Atlanta Falcons, Green Bay Packers, and Houston Texans.
Caserio is going to be the reason for that.
Well, Caserio is. What makes Houston a very strong destination is the fact that longtime Patriots personnel man Nick Caserio is the new general manager. Caserio has been proactive this offseason in adding to the roster, even if all the moves seemingly don't make the most sense in the world. Thank you. I mean, how often is it said about the Houston Texans that all these moves don't make too much sense? And it's still going on with Caserio. But if it, in fact, he went against the staff, he went against his scouts and chose N'Keal Harry, then Caserio probably would want to distance himself from him. Because he was like, we didn't want him. That was a Bill move, not a mean move. I'm not taking that on. Just because he was a Patriot, I didn't want him. And it would be, actually it would look bad for Caserio if the Texans did get him, if the Texans did trade for him, because it would show, oh, Caserio liked him. Oh, Caserio still wants him and will give up whatever to get him even still to this day, even though he's been a bust. So I don't think the Texans are actually going to be, if in fact that's a true story, that Belichick was the one that picked him.
Yeah, Breer is real tight with New England.
Yeah.
Breer is that's been his beat forever. Albert Breer is, his info on that is going to be good, usually.
I would think that Caserio would say, no. That wasn't me.
Yeah, I don't know. Caserio strikes me as a good soldier, though. I don't think he's going to be one who wants to throw that stuff. Like, that's
exactly. Well, he's not throwing it at all. But if he takes Harry, then he's just showing, I like
Dennis
him.
Lindsay once told me, once you make it the pick, everyone's on board, and you never disavow that. Ballard says that. I don't think that That's a Rick and OB move to say, "One me." That was his. I don't think Nick Casario.
That was
do that.
A Charlie Casterly move too.
Yeah,
hey,
no.
See?
Yeah,
Vic
and that's
that guy. See,
that's the most dysfunctional. Yeah, a terribly dysfunctional organization. I don't see Nick Casario as a guy who would try to throw somebody else under the bus. Honestly, I think other people in the organization. I think scouts probably.
No, no,
did
no. I'm
that.
Not saying that he would throw anybody under the bus. Just taking him on though would show that he actually wanted the pick.
Well,
when in fact, if maybe the scouts weren't on board. With,
I don't think
with
I don't think he gives a crap what you think or what anyone thinks. Nick Casario, if he likes him, Nick Casario might trade for him.
How could Nick Casario like him after watching him for 2 years?
Maybe he thinks that he wasn't used properly or whatever. I don't. You never know. I don't want him. Like I said, there were some red flags for him with me. I thought he was a second round guy. I thought AJ Brown was better. I don't know. I don't want N'Keal Harry. I don't think he can get open. If he can get it open in the NFL, and it's funny, the names that article's mentioning, a Casario spot, Green Bay, who everyone says is always in need of a wide receiver, which I don't think is necessarily the case right now, after they added, what's his name, Rogers from Clemson. And then they mentioned a team that lost Julio Jones. But at the same time, you added Kyle Pitts. I don't know. Wherever N'Keal Harry goes, it's not going to matter.
Well,
it's not going to be a factor. It's not going to matter.
You know, N'Keal Harry might help the Packers. You know, that would be, I could see, you know, maybe a reclamation project.
Well, they got Amari Rodgers. They've got, you know, Devontae Adams. They've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who has played pretty well. Robert Tonyan is a really good pass-catching tight end. I don't think they need N'Keal Harry.
Well,
for what?
If you think
it's a body.
If you think that he's been underused,
Alan
and you
Lazard,
think he is
they've
a,
got guys who don't separate yeah. already. They've got Alan Lazard. They've got high football character guy versus a guy who's kind of a, from what I was told by scouts, me guy in N'Keal Harry. I don't think he fits the Packer way. But should we get into an Aaron? We haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers for a while or Deshaun Watson. Is there something we need to?
Well, we got to pick up the show.
A Deshaun Watson.
I think guys mentioned Dennis Lindsay, and the Rockets didn't hire him, but they did hire a couple new executives.
Yeah, we'll talk about their new hires. Actually, one familiar face and one who's been a former NBA general manager, but his name isn't Dennis Lindsay. We'll do that when we come back. 8:14, right here on the bench.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, the architect of the Grit and Grind Grizzlies is now with the Houston Rockets.
Chris Wallace.
That's interesting. Dennis
Celtics fans hate him.
They do.
Yeah, he wasn't so good over there.
So the thought was maybe Dennis Lindsay stepped down. He'd become a consultant with the Jazz. That maybe Dennis Lindsay was going to come back to the Houston Rockets and be a part of the organization and help out. And then just out of nowhere, how interesting.
Well, Chris Wallace is the director of scouting.
Yeah. No. But how interesting is it that Bull. Up out of nowhere, just thought, wow.
He didn't see that coming. So there's no way that this move. So Matt Bullard, you mentioned Chris Wallace. Matt Bullard also added to the front office. But Matt Bullard thought he was just unceremoniously let go. At some point, something must have changed, because if Matt knew this was in the works,
he would have never put out what he put out there. No.
Yeah, I don't think he would have done podcasts or anything like that.
No, because he did say, he was like, just want to let y'all know I've been let go by the Houston Rockets. I won't be back as an announcer. And then a week later, he's in the front office as an analytics guy. So that was a little eye-opening. Maybe it'll be interesting to hear Bull talk about that, how that all worked out. That, you know, he felt like he was blindsided by not being re-upped with his contract. And then all of a sudden he's working in the front office. But he did talk about it. He did say, I'd like to be in a front office, in an NBA front office. Just didn't think it was going to be the Rockets. And now it is the Rockets. And now it's also Chris Wallace, the architect of the grit and grind Grizzlies, hired right before the 2007 NBA draft. The first decision Wallace made was Mike Conley. Building through the draft and trades, Wallace was the architect of that Grizzlies team that made the postseason seven consecutive seasons.
But he also was heavily criticized for dealing Pau Gasol and didn't get enough back. Everyone thought that was, you know, Popovich was upset about it, I remember. And they, he was demoted from GM to scout at one point, kept inside the organization. So, but he's still a guy who's been around basketball. You've got Matt Bullard, who has basketball knowledge and obviously analytics-based, as we see on the broadcast. So Rafael Stone, I think, making a move that is I think those are good moves for the team. Happy with that. Rafael Stone, as he gears up for the NBA draft, you know, it's not that far away. We'll be getting into it hot and heavy about what looks like it's going to come down to a decision between Evan Mobley from USC and Jalen Green from the G League. And I'm interested to see, you know, how the Rockets view themselves is really going to play out with how they handle the draft, how they envision themselves. Jalen Green is the flashy, explosive guy, higher upside, lower ceiling, and Mobley is a big, and skilled bigs do have value in the NBA right now. We're in a time where skilled bigs are making a big comeback right now, and for the Rockets, that would give them two skilled bigs, which you wouldn't assume would have value unless you were potentially going to move Christian Wood. So,
right.
I don't know. It's really interesting to see what Rafael Stone's going to do, how he remakes the organization, which he just started with Chris Wallace and Matt Bullard, adding those guys, and then what they do with that second pick is just really, really going to be, it's going to be that flag you plant in the ground that we're going to look back on in 3 years and say, wow, can you believe they passed up on Jalen Suggs for Jalen Green? Or we'll say, wow, can you believe what happened? They drafted Mobley, and, you know, they could have drafted Jalen Green, who's fallen apart and has, you know, and Mobley's turned into this player. Who knows? But whatever happens, that second pick is always one of the first pick is not hard. Making a first pick is generally easy. Making a second pick, historically, when you go down the – if you want to find the most controversial situations in NBA history, it's the second pick of the draft.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And it started, I mean.
Was Darko two or three?
No. Darko was two.
Darko
wasn't he?
Was two also.
Yeah.
Darko Sam was Bowie two.
Sam
was
Bowie
two.
Is two. Yeah, that number two pick is it can be controversial. Stromile Swift was two, I believe.
No, I think he was further down, wasn't he?
Was he? I thought he was number two overall.
He was an amazing
player.
What's
good, though, which is good, I think this is really good. He's the director of scouting. He's got 15 years of experience as a general manager, and he's also drafted Paul Pierce, Joe Johnson, Mike Conley. He's had some success. He appears now, his trades, like you mentioned the Gasol trade, and some other stuff that he has done, not always thought of as the best moves for an NBA organization, but he's not making those moves. He's director of scouting,
yeah,
and he seems to have a pretty good eye for talent. And that's important. That's really, really good when you got a general manager in Rafael Stone who doesn't have that kind of experience.
Well, maybe that really helps with the second pick of the draft. We'll see. And yes, you're right. Stromile Swift was the second pick also. But, yeah, maybe that's one of the things he wants to do is get a guy with that kind of an NBA experience on the squad so that he has those basketball eyes to take a look at all these players as well, because he has made picks inside the, you know. Listen, who would you go to at the Rockets? If you think about it, all the Rockets brass, they don't know what it means to pick a player in the lottery. Like, this is weird. Yeah. What is this draft? So how do you do the draft? Like, what do you do?
Zero.
Do you think Rafael Stone's like, so what do you do? We don't have to automatically. I want to make sure. Do we have to trade the picks?
Do we have to bid for him?
We can pick this player. Does he have to go overseas? Does he have to be Greek or Spanish? So he didn't have to be from Spain or Greece. So we can pick an American.
Wait.
And can we have a? We can't have him on our team, though, right? No, you can. Okay, so here's the deal, Rafael. I know you've been with Daryl Morey. You can actually pick players. They can be from the United States. They can be college players, or they can be international. It doesn't matter. They can actually play for you, but not in the same year, right? No, Rafael, they can play in the same year, and then you can, but we don't have, but isn't this year we have to trade all of our picks? No. You don't, actually, Rafael, you don't ever, that Daryl did that, okay? You don't have to trade away all your picks multiple years in a row. That's not actually an NBA thing, but they don't have value. Daryl told us, no, I think the second pick, okay, so you're the worst team in basketball. This pick is going to have some value for you. I think this is going to be good for us to get a draft pick. Let's do an American player. Let's see what happens. What do you say? Let's get an American player who's good. No. Maybe we try that this year in the draft.
I don't know. I don't know about this
Rafael
whole.
Is just going
I don't
to be
know
like,
about the way. This, I don't know.
Do we
to
have to
it?
Do a draft? This seems. I don't. What do I don't even know how to pay them in the draft. Do they have a deal like a salary thing, or what do we even do? This is just all new to us, this drafting.
So this is also another story, a Rocket story, that it's a day old. I mean, it happened yesterday, dropped yesterday. But that Kendrick Perkins, your favorite announcer, Kendrick Perkins came out and was talking about Stephen Silas. He says he's, you know, Stephen Silas is 17-55 as an NBA head coach. And, you know, the perception is that, well, can't be a very good coach, can he? What with, you know, 17-55? But you certainly can't put this on him. And Kendrick Perkins came out and said, man, guys love him. He's one of the best as far as putting guys in position to be successful offensively. He's been his reputation throughout the league. He's a guy that doesn't shortcut anything. He's a guy that punches the clock, but he's a magician when it comes to the offensive end of basketball. With Silas, the thing I love about his approach is that he's a player's coach. Players gravitate towards him. That's nice. You know, it is nice to have after the season that he had, because a lot of coaches, you know, this. I don't know if it's going to be the case for Bo Cully. It is the case with Bo Silas that people are still behind him.
Well, when you can keep calling him Bo, it doesn't feel like you think it's going to finish.
That's not a compliment.
Well, no, but when you're, you know.
Did you just call him Bo Silas?
Yes, yeah. He called him.
When you're in
that's
your
a kiss of death.
Well, this is the same version of the Astros 100 loss season. Losing 55 games in an NBA season is equal to 100 loss baseball season. And Bo Cully's going to experience, you know, another 14 loss Texan season, yeah, which is the equivalent of 100 loss season.
But the difference is Bo Cully won't remember it like Stephen Silas will, because Bo Cully.
I'm going to tell you about David Cully, who's a junkie.
He's going to be so high, he's not going to remember anything.
You got to be able to cope with things, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, we know Richardson used weed. Apparently, David Cully's using nachos.
He's going to use burritos.
Hey, yeah. Listen, eating to cope is a thing. Eating Tex-Mex is a thing to cope. And David Cully knows about Tex-Mex. He even told us. Of all the Tex-Mex, Houston is, what did he say? Houston has the best Tex-Mex.
I'm going to tell you about David Cully, who's a junkie.
You know what he did know?
What?
That preseason could help rookies. That's what he said. He goes, with lack of preseason last year, I realized that preseason can really help rookies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Extra time to play and practice and go through reps helps. Repetition helps. This just in.
Who knew that, you know, your first real experience in the NFL, getting into games that don't matter might help your cause before the real game start? Apparently, the junkie didn't know that.
I don't think he wants to be called the junkie.
He called himself
that. I don't think that's a nickname,
that's
the
not
junkie.
That's what I'm going to call him.
Do you think anyone has picked up on that in the building just to break his balls?
No.
There he is, the nacho junkie. Maybe not just junkie like you have
you
it.
You can't just call him
junkie. But maybe they
junkie
call him nacho junkie.
He didn't call himself a nacho junkie. Listen to him.
I'm going
to
tell you about David Cully, who's a junkie.
He called himself a junkie.
Play the whole thing.
He didn't say nacho
put context
junkie
on his name.
No, that's not how the show works.
No, there's no. As we ain't doing no context.
This is what he said about rookies. As a rookie, I found out last year, no preseason games. The rookies that I thought was ready weren't quite as ready simply because the speed of the game just hit them like that. I saw some rookies that were a little more hesitant than you expect because of not having those preseason games. And that's why right now having three preseason games, that is invaluable for new players, especially rookies, to get out on the field. He found that out last year that having preseason games would help.
Hmm.
How many years has he been in the NFL?
Got to learn.
Look, that's a little.
Not everybody's learning curve is the same.
He's been in the NFL for a long time.
Long time.
It's a little strange.
Why you always got to get on the junkie?
I'm not getting on him. I'm just telling you what the man
said. You did it too. Get on the junkie. That's not his nickname. That's not his name.
You don't know it's not.
That's not a pen name. No. That's not any of that stuff.
You don't know it?
I go to Pro Football Reference, and under his name, it says the junkie for his nickname.
Oh, boy. I'm going to check now.
No.
No.
It might be now if somebody changed somebody who listens to this show.
No, it's not Wikipedia. You can't just change Pro Football Reference.
829 on ESPN 97.5. What running back is the worst human being in the world, on the planet? Well, the worst effing human being on the planet. To be clear.
Let's get the actual code in there.
Yeah. Which running back? We'll tell you on the other side.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Apparently, Le'Veon Bell, he likes to spread the wealth. He really likes to share his thoughts with a few women. He has now a sixth baby mama, and she's given birth to his seventh child. So he's got 7 by 6. He's a 7 by 6 guy. He likes to spread the wealth.
And who did we talk about before? Like, was it last week we talked? Didn't we talk about someone a couple weeks ago last week who was on this path too? Oh, it was Nick Cannon. I call it the Abraham path.
Right.
When you're trying to populate the earth with your children because God told you your descendants would fill the earth.
A little different in that he was married to Sarah she was 95. And God told her she would have a kid at 90.
Yeah, but back then, 90, people lived to like 140, remember?
Right, or 600, according to Genesis.
Yeah.
So
John just really quietly just dropped a ton of Bible knowledge on you.
Sarah told him to have relations with their slave, and they had another child. Ishmael.
Mm-hmm. Jefferson.
Yeah.
Same.
Well, this is a little different. In that Abraham only had two babies by two. He was 2 by 2.
Wait, what do we do? I just came in from using the bathroom, said hello to the intern, and I walk in, and I'm not sure what I stepped into.
Well,
is it running back talk or Bible talk? Or I don't exactly 100% know what I've got going on.
Well,
here.
You got running back talk, but okay. Dell went back to the Abraham theory.
Yeah, I don't
Abraham
know.
Had eight children.
Abraham had eight?
Yeah. You forget the Bible didn't get into it, I guess, but he had eight. That's why I said, I keep saying
maybe
it.
You didn't know.
Eight by how many?
You've been gone for a while. I don't know.
Maybe eight
no
by
more.
Two. I don't know, but he had eight.
Okay. Maybe I'm mixing up my guy who had, was the last one when she was, was Sarah when
wasn't
she was 95?
Was it Moses or Abraham who did the whole splitting with the wives?
No one knows.
No. No, Moses. Moses didn't. Do
Moses
that.
Didn't have a he couple. No, he didn't couple do that. Girls. With
he didn't
him.
Have a. He didn't have. He didn't well, have anyway, Le'Veon, who's not in the Bible,
no,
is a 7 by 6 guy, 7 kids by 6 wives or 6 women. Golden Blondie is, I guess, she's the 6th and a mother of the 7th child. She doesn't think that he is a very good father at this point.
How can you tell?
Because she calls him the worst human being on the planet and hopes he uses a condom before he has an 8th baby with a different woman. Apparently, he's not living up to any of his duties as the father of the child.
Uh-huh.
And he's non-responsive. He's not great at this whole parenting thing, apparently. She's pretty good. She's pretty talented, I would tell you.
Hmm.
Well, She's talented. I've seen her Instagram. She's an Instagram model. But she says this, at Le'Veon Bell, since you blocked me, we can talk on here because you only care about what the public thinks. You're the worst effing human being on the planet.
Okay.
You can't even call yourself a man when you barely take care of the kids you do claim and pick and choose which ones to claim. Oh, and we can dead the narrative, I choose to be baby mama number six because I never knew that. I would have run for the hills, but I guess that's why you had to get a dumb underage B.I. after me. I let you slide for a minute trying to keep it cool, but now the world can know what a terrible person you are.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. just to...
And scene.
Just not to upset our Bible historians, Abraham had eight sons by three different women.
Three?
Yes.
He went eight by six.
Eight by three.
Eight by three.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not a seven by six guy.
Well, that's remarkable what's going on in this story.
So... you said you would be there for me and the baby and went ghost when it came out in the blogs like the coward you are. No NFL team wants a little coward. And oh, don't try to spin the effing narrative that I'm just out for your money because you wouldn't be the person I go for it about money. LMAO.
Who would she go to?
You don't even have a contract. Shake my head.
But he's got a previous deal. He didn't spend all of his money,
well,
did he?
Yeah, but that well's going to run dry at some point with all
Well, not if he's not taking care of the kids.
Right. Well, no. At what point are we going to say, man, damn, Le'Veon's out of money?
I mean, it's a
possibility. It's
going to
come. I think if you keep track of his social media at all, yeah, I mean, he's a spender.
Yeah.
And he burned bridges. Like, he couldn't play this any stupider. He played it stupid in Pittsburgh.
He hates Andy Reid.
And he burned a bridge with Andy Reid, who, like, everybody in the league is down with. You can't find a player to say a negative thing about Andy Reid. He talks too much on social media. Just way too flagrant.
Well,
he's done.
Yeah, he came after Andy Reid.
No one wants to touch him anymore. He's done. No. You burn Andy Reid, yeah. And there's not a team. What did you do even with Andy Reid? Like, you could have played good soldier over there and just worked. But he thinks he's still like $10 million a year, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
$12 million. That's not who he is. He could have stuck around because he can, you know, he wasn't terrible last year for him when he got the carries. But had he just played his role, he might have stuck around for a couple more years collecting checks and all that.
Last week he came out and said he blamed Andy Reid because he didn't get enough playing time.
He was 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was a little while back.
Yeah.
And then he tried to walk it back a little bit, but too late.
He says, I'll sign somewhere when I am, a capital I am, ready. Ain't no more finessing me with lies and bleep just to get me to sign with they team. No more rush decisions on my end, period. Well, I don't think you have to rush. Anybody's rushing to.
Yeah.
Got to sign Le'Veon right away.
I feel like that particular negotiation is at a standstill. As far as him and other teams, Le'Veon's going to be a guy you might see mid-season at some point.
Yeah, and he may sign with somebody right before, but it ain't going to be for Le'Veon's going to go, wait, what happened to that money I used to make? Where's that? Wait a minute, what you talking about?
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute. That doesn't seem like as much money.
But have you heard his rap?
No, I didn't. It's
terrible.
I missed that too.
He is a terrible rapper. So he has that to fall back on because terrible rap seems to play in some circles at times. I don't know why. Young kids like some bad rappers, but even his is boring and repetitive, and it's not good. I know he thought he was going to be up in the rap game, but I don't think it's going to hit. I don't think that's going to work for him. We'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's not Concept Mayhem. We're not talking about that on the air. Okay.
Why can't he call it? You don't think your buddy would change the name of his company to that?
Meanwhile, did John Renner just go Bible ball on us?
He does. I don't know if you guys know. Well, you brand new. John does this quite a bit.
Seven by six. Abraham said unto Rachel.
8 to 3.
Eight by three. Okay.
Yeah. Not now. I mean, forever. Bible's been out a while now. yeah. It's not the new edition. It's not the King James, which changed it up. No. It's, I did know about Sarah.
I want to ask you do you guys think that, like, in his heart, is Chris Paul going to think of James Harden at all if he wins MVP and wins the title?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we know he was unceremoniously during the rose ceremony. James didn't give him a rose, and so he had to leave the Rockets. I wonder if he is going to take some private, because he does strike me as a guy who takes names and writes them in his notebook about guys he wants revenge against. Do you think if Chris Paul wins a title and wins the MVP, which, by the way, he was the favorite to win the MVP headed into it, and he did himself no damage with yesterday's performance as he was the star of the game. If Chris Paul wins, let's say 4-1, 4-1 and is the MVP and finally gets his title, because that's a big deal to finally get your title after 16 seasons is a really big deal. He had had choker on his, thrown on his name tag by some people for a while. He kind of had that mantra. He's injury prone later in his career. Do you think any of his joy in his mind, he's going to think, and yeah, F you, James Harden? Or do you think it's way bigger than that and he probably won't even give it a second thought?
I would love if afterwards he goes, hey, James, this one's for you. James.
Oh, if he said it out loud?
If he said it out loud. Yeah. That would be how totally sweet. James, this is what we could have done. We didn't. Sorry. Bye. Bye.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either, but it would be totally, totally sweet.
Is James cheering against Giannis, who has kind of clowned him and made little jokes before All-Star games?
I saw that. Which one makes James look worse, Giannis or Chris Paul? And it's by far Chris Paul makes him look worse.
Oh, no, it's Chris Paul. Because you had Chris Paul and won 65 games.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the next year was not good and you had a terrible contract, but you much rather would have stuck it out with Chris Paul than having to get Russell Westbrook and then give up all the draft picks. That was just not – Russell wasn't a good fit with James. We said it at the time. It's not hindsight. That was not a good fit, their style of basketball. Mm. Then giving up all your draft picks and then, sticking with – even if you thought it was a bad contract for Chris, sticking it out, you would have said, oh, wait a minute. Okay, this isn't that bad. You would have got pandemic – you would have got pandemic version of Chris Paul. Most of the season was played, but you would have got that version, Oklahoma City version. That was a good version.
Yeah, but you didn't know that. We all thought he was on the decline.
No, you didn't know that, but if you thought he was on the decline, it's better playing with the player on the decline than taking on Russell Westbrook and giving away all your draft picks.
Yeah, but again,
that wasn't
good. It was untenable. They couldn't play together.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. If it hadn't been untenable.
Well, if it hadn't been untenable, they wouldn't have got rid of Chris Paul. There was no doubt.
That's what I'm saying. And where would they be right now?
Oh, they would be much better.
I mean, this is a James issue.
This is a James. Oh, yeah.
I mean, a huge James issue.
You mean the guy who ran the team?
You are in this. I know people love James Harden, but you are in this position because James Harden and then enablers like Daryl Morey and the entire organization who just did whatever James told them. James was the team tyrant who decided this is what's going to happen. And you had all these enablers. And now this is where you are right now. But you just think of what it could have been if Chris Paul had stayed. Just one more year so you could have saw that version and went, okay, wait a minute now. Maybe we're in a pretty good spot. Who knows what would have happened with the Rockets? Maybe the Rockets are a title winner already. Maybe they win last year.
Yeah. Well, we don't play that what-if game. That what-if game was long gone. James Harden destroyed. James Harden got rid of everybody. James Harden just, and here he is sitting at home watching Chris Paul.
Do you remember when?
I would love it if Chris Paul said something to James Harden after.
No.
When he's in the trophy celebration.
He wouldn't do that, because that's what I'm saying. I don't know that that's something that.
Is he in his head?
I don't know that that's on his mind. Like, well, his name is in a notebook somewhere.
It's on
Chris
my
Paul
mind.
Notebook. I don't know that Chris Paul, after 16 years and the different organizations he's gone to and his grind, his particular grind to stay in shape and do this and that. I don't know that James is at the top of his mind, but he might be. I don't know.
I hope it's in his Hall of Fame acceptance speech. I hope he catches it.
If he has that MJ vibe, because sometimes you do go through the people who have coached you, the people you've played with, but he also might have something good to say about James. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, James is incredibly talented.
He wouldn't mean it.
I think he thinks James is an amazing player. It's just, I don't think he thinks he's And either did Russ ultimately think that James is committed as much as he needs.
It's funny. You know who's an underdog? James Harden, though.
Underdog fantasy is all I can assume that you want to lead me right into that, and I'm glad you did. As a matter of fact, guess who won his contest yesterday? Yes, I did. I stayed away from that. By the way, I stayed away from that head-to-head with Devin Booker. But in my daily game, I had Chris Paul, and Chris Paul had a huge game. I had 8-8 and had a huge game. At Underdog Fantasy, you can play. This is what's great about Underdog Fantasy. You can draft, whether it's basketball. Like, you've got basketball games that will come up. You've got hockey. You've got Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball draft, when I look at it right now, they got a three-person $8 entry, or $3 entry, rather. You've got $5 drafts. You've got $10 drafts, $15 drafts, up to $100 drafts head-to-head. You can play somebody head-to-head with baseball, and if you're good with baseball, if you know your baseball, your rotisserie baseball, you got a chance to use your skill to win real money. But they also give you a chance to play head-to-head with their rivalry feature and their over-under feature as well. And that's a chance for you to win multiplier money. So if you stick five players together and you hit all five on their overs and unders, you're going to win 20 times your original play. There's so many amazing features with Underdog Fantasy, and they've got year-long fantasy football so that you can draft a team. Yeah, it's not salary-based. You actually draft and show your skill level, and that's how you start to pull in the serious dough. Use my promo code RADIO when you sign up and you fund your account. You can download it on for Apple or for Android. Use the promo code RADIO, get $25 cash thrown into your account. Terms and conditions apply, but make sure you start getting up on the most advanced fantasy sports platform that you're going to find in underdogfantasy.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. Stop looking all over for high-quality windows and siding at an affordable price. Do like I did. Call Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding replaced my old windows with exemplary customer service and high-quality products. It enhanced the appearance of my house and increased the energy efficiency of my home. Take advantage of their specials right now. 25% off windows or buy 10, get 2 free. $2,000 off complete siding jobs. Home and virtual appointments available. Family run for four generations. 832-204-1936 or AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
Spring has sprung and it's full tilt boogie time at GiveMeTheVIN.com. I'm overpaying for cars because I think they're going to go up even higher from where they are right now. We'll pay off your payoff. We'll pick your stuff up. We'll quote you quick and easy at GiveMeTheVIN.com. America's best car buyer. Go there right now, and if I don't beat a CarMax offer, I'll send you a check for $100.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, a couple of things we haven't even mentioned yet. Oh, how'd that taste yesterday, Dell? The Italians.
Why would I be
going to the finals?
But why would that bother me?
Because you hate the Italians.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, you always talk about them. As soon as you talk about the Italians, what do you talk about? The Godfather.
No, when I talk about gangster movies, that's what I talk about. I don't talk about the Italians.
The Italians taking over your game again.
It's what? It's the world's game, not my game.
No, it's your game.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, and winning and going, oh, yeah, how's that going to taste, England?
I don't know.
England, you're not going to get a home game for once.
Yeah.
How's that taste?
When he goes into that voice.
Was I born in España? Why do I care if they beat Spain?
No. Our guys went to
PKs. Did you watch it at all?
No,
were you in town yesterday?
No, I didn't watch it. That's why this is all phony.
So it's not phony. Penalty kicks.
I watched them the other day against Belgium. Beat the Reds.
Look at the Italians. I didn't even take time to watch the game. But
I was traveling. I'm sorry.
Watch it afterwards.
No, I couldn't watch it afterwards.
Yes, you can.
Let me tell you something now. Your defense in Italy, they look, I mean.
Well, one of them does.
One of them for sure. I think Chiellini, he looks like he's straight out of Peaky Blinders season 4.
Chiesa.
He's got the nose. Yeah.
No, Chiesa is the forward. No, you're talking about Chiellini. Chiesa's the forward.
Chiellini, yeah.
He's kind of all. What do you need? And then we got the little guy, number 10, who runs around.
Oh, what's his name?
Tiny, fast, tiny water.
It starts. I know what it is.
This is embarrassing.
Broccolini.
No, it's not broccolini.
Broccolini.
No, it starts with an I. It's
Ignacio.
No, that's not.
Did you see y'all have a Brazilian?
We don't want them. We don't want one.
What? He starts.
Yeah, don't care.
What do you mean you don't want one? He hit the game winner yesterday in PKs.
Jorginho.
Huh?
Jorginho. He plays for Italy. Jorginho.
Yeah, we don't need
him. He was born in Italy, born in Brazil, has a grandfather who was born in Rome or something like that, and that's why he went to Italy, and now he's
Jorginho.
One of your guys.
That could be one of your people.
Yeah.
So Italy, so now you've got England versus Denmark. That goes today. And I think we're going to get Italy versus England in a true European championship.
Well,
this is the true Europe, England and Italy.
You're aware that no matter who makes it, it's a true European championship?
Yeah, but this is more European.
Why?
This is the most European teams you can get from a Europa.
What about Spain? If Spain was on the other side, Spain wouldn't have made it the most European final?
Not more than Italy.
Huh.
Not more than Italy. Paella is great.
Why is England
but
more?
The Italian food has just made its way to everywhere. It's global.
So you think
Italy is global?
England is more European than Denmark?
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I always considered
Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
World War.
I always considered England almost a separate part. I know they're part of Europe. I understand the continents, but I don't think of England definitely European. What?
Well, that's your bias showing. When I think of Europe and Brexit, who do you think of? England.
Why would
you don't even know if Denmark is Dutch, is Danish?
No,
no,
I
no
do.
One
it's,
knows.
I okay? do. It's Danish.
Yeah,
I do.
No one knows
but when
it.
You
I just
think
told
of
you.
Brexit, who do you think of? Boris. That's England.
Is Boris
now, while
an English
that's
name?
Exiting the European Union, I mean the Union. Yeah, that's almost anti-Europe in a way.
Yes,
yeah.
Actually.
But at the same time, you still think of it. No publicity is bad publicity.
I think you're down a road you made up, and you're still traveling down that road.
Is Winston Churchill from England? Yes.
Yeah.
More European. There it
what?
Is.
Who's more well-known?
Case
known?
Closed.
That's not a case. You didn't
Who's
even make
more
a
well
case.
Name
that guy?
One Danish politician.
Boop, boop, boop.
None.
I can't name an Italian.
You know none.
I can't name an Italian politician.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Mussolini?
He wasn't a politician.
He was a
dictator.
Country.
He was a dictator. It's not a politician.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
When you run the country.
It's
yes.
not a. That's if you're a dictator, that's not a politician.
I don't know if you heard. That's political.
That's not a politician.
Was he actually elected?
Kinda.
I mean, if you take over with brute force, is that an election?
It's kinda.
He can give himself the title prime
if
minister,
fascist,
but I didn't
that
think he was
election?
A politician.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Insigne is his name. That's it. I knew it was that little fella is so fun. I love him. He's a little Johnny Manziel. Whee! Running around.
A little Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. I like him. Yeah. Our team.
Your team, not our team.
No, that's all of our
team.
I'm
rooting for England or Denmark.
Against the Italians, you see?
Yeah.
That's that's why.
Well, that's why
go
what?
Italy. Yeah, no, it's, no. Now we know.
Isn't
your
it
hate.
Forza Italia, not go Italy?
Your hate for the Italians.
How come I know what you're supposed to say better than you do?
You don't
go
know.
Italy? They don't say go
yeah,
Italy.
They do?
Forza Italia. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, no one knows.
Yes, I
no
just told you.
It. No one's
I
ever
keep
heard
telling
that.
You.
Yeah. Anyway, so there was that. And oh, by the way, didn't even mention Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau winning in the biggest match ever. Ever. Boy, did Mickelson and Brady play like crap. It was
how much?
And,
I didn't watch any of it. Was there?
Well, it was heads up against the Astros and the NBA.
Was there a crazy amount
really
of trash
dumb.
Talking going on?
Oh, there was. Nah, there was a no. Nah, they calmed that down. It was a lot of good natured and we're up three, baby. And Aaron Rodgers. They won three straight holes. They won 10, 11, and 12, and it was over after that. So, but man, Brady hit so many bad shots. I guess just because he's Tom Brady, It's hard to watch really, really bad golf. I mean, I watch it all the time with me and my friends, but I don't want to watch it on television. But because it's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, oh, it's nice. At one hole, Rodgers outdrove Bryson DeChambeau. It was like, holy crap, he gets a snot out of that. And then Brady went in the woods and all the junk and everything else, and Phil just couldn't do it by himself. But it that was... you know, the biggest match in the history of the world, and you two don't even mention it until I got to mention it at 8:54, 2 hours into the show.
It's really an embarrassing display by the both of us that we didn't mention that exhibition golf match. Sorry.
Yeah, exhibition golf match. Oh, it's called The Match. It was on three different networks.
Good. If you say so, I didn't see it on
any of them. Yeah, it was on TBS, TNT, and True. How about that? Yeah, did any of your games go on three networks? No.
What games are you referring to?
Your stupid soccer.
Yeah, college football goes on. The national title game is on three different networks. That's my game.
No. Oh, the national. See? It's as big as the national championship in college football.
Is ESPN larger than True TV?
Not really.
Okay.
Not larger than True. Oh, really? Where do you watch your college basketball tournament?
Usually the crap games on True TV.
True TV.
Well, I don't know. Is True TV have anything else other than that?
I don't
know.
Because
I've never been on it other than that.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I've never been on it for anything, ever. 703-780-3776, 856 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Every AFC team's MVP. Who do you think the Texans is? Talk about it next.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.